তাই গৌর হরে বোল হরে বোল
Yamunamai ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki jai. Go Premananda Hari Bol, all glorious to seven devotees, all glorious to seven devotees, all glorious to seven devotees, all glorious to Sri Sri Guru Siya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Phala Prabala Sabaka Sumanaha Pitra Datubi Katsa Gunja Mani Swana Usita Apya Susanyam Phala Prabala Sabaka Sumanaha Pitra Datubi Katsa gunja mani svana Bhushita apyasu yasyan Phala prabala stavaka Sumanaha pitsa datubi Katsa gunja mani svana Bhushita apyasu yasyan
Somebody?
Tissues, ask one of the girls. Ladies.
Anybody else?
Fala, fruits from the forest. Rambala. Green leaves. Stavaka. Bunches. Sumanaha. Beautiful flowers. Pitra. Peacock feathers. Gunja. Small conchs. Mani. Pearls. Svana. Gold. Ushitaha. Although decorated. Api Abu Shayan. In spite of being decorated by their mothers. The boys decorated themselves still more with above mentioned articles. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Although all these boys were already decorated by their mothers with ornaments of katra, gunja, pearls and gold, when they went into the forest they further decorated themselves with fruits, green leaves, bunches of flowers, peacock feathers and soft minerals. One more. Ushnanto nyonya shikya din janatan draksha shik shipu tatra kyascha puna durat dasanta sa puna dadu. All the cowherd boys used to steal one another's lunch bags. When a boy came to understand that his bag had been taken away, the other boy would throw it farther away to a more distant place, and those standing there would throw it still farther. When the proprietor of the bag became disappointed, the other boys would laugh, the proprietor would cry, and then the bag would be returned, purported by Srila Prabhupada. This kind of playing and stealing among young boys still exists even in the material world, because this kind of sporting pleasure is present in the spiritual world, from which this idea of enjoyment emanates. Janmatyasya yata. The same enjoyment is displayed by Krishna and his associates in the spiritual world, but there the enjoyment is eternal, whereas here on the material platform it is temporary. There the enjoyer is Brahman, whereas here the enjoyer is Jada. The Krishna conscious movement is meant to train one how to transfer oneself from Jada to Brahman, because human life is meant for this purpose. Atatu Brahma Jikyasa. Vedanta Sutra 111. Krishna comes down to teach us how we can enjoy with him on the spiritual platform in the spiritual world. Not only does he come, he personally displays his pastimes in Vrindavan and attracts people to spiritual enjoyment. Omagyanti Vidandasya Gananjana Shlakaya. Chakshurumritam yinatasmai siyurave namaha sitritanya manovistam sapitamina bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam darati svaparantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Advaita Gaur Bhaktivinam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. So in Bhagavad Gita we see there is a tree, a banyan tree, which is reflected in water. The tree, of course, in the spiritual world is like a tree with many branches, and when it's reflected it goes into the opposite direction. The higher the tree is, the more it goes down. And so we should understand very carefully. It's the material world is just a reflection of the spiritual world. Whatever we find here actually is also existing in the spiritual world. In fact, there where it comes from. Janmadiyasya yata. But here everything is impure, it's jada. Jada means darkness. There is enjoyment here, there's enjoyment there, but there the center of the enjoyment is Krishna. The enjoyment of people is to make Krishna happy. And in the material world it is ahampurva. Somebody knows what that means, ahampurva? Huh? Me first. That's right, me first. Nobody finds anything wrong with it if I enjoy. Or if you enjoy it, you think, well, that's life. Enjoy. But when Krishna enjoys, then we think deep down, we think, why is he enjoying? There's a thought there, small thought, you know, why is he enjoying so much? Is it really necessary? Because our heart has been, there's a little tinge of Bhaktisiddhanta called it adversity, averse, that there's some adversity towards Krishna deep in our heart. And so we can see in Krishna, that's why Krishna consciousness is so helpful, because here we are learning how Krishna is enjoying in so many different ways. And those who are envious, they will not read Krishna books, they go away. They say, how can God enjoy? I want to enjoy, right? And therefore, the rasa dance is a prime chapter for those who are troubled by sexual desires. Because there Krishna enjoys the most, and so it is like poison for a materialist to hear that. He wants to enjoy it. Why should Krishna enjoy? I want to enjoy all these women. And innumerable people have tried that. Like there was one famous so-called guru. He was, they say he was only 16 years old when he came to the West. I will not name his name, but he was very famous. And when he was so popular that he had 100,000 people coming into the Astrodome in Houston, Texas to see him. 100,000 people. And so Prabhupada was very concerned because he claimed to be God. And so then devotees showed him pictures of this guru, how he performed the rasa dance in Houston, Texas, in this Astrodome with so many girls around him. And Prabhupada became so angry, he said, I urinate in the face of that God. Prabhupada said, I urinate in the face of this God. It doesn't make, didn't our movement very popular in that particular movement. The word got around. But you see, that's the most devastating thing, that people want to imitate Krishna's rasa dancing. The envy goes so far. So there is a little enviousness in our heart, we should understand this. That's why we become envious of devotees sometimes, you know. Why do we criticize? Because there is some envy there, basically speaking. If we would not be envious, we would not criticize anybody. We say, well, everybody's in the material world. You know, everybody is handicapped in some way or another. Like when people are handicapped, somebody experiences some discomfort, like the blanket is too small. So some people pull the blanket to their neck and expose their feet and have cold feet. And somebody said to him, why are you having cold feet? Criticize him. You look at him, well, he has his feet covered, but his neck is completely not covered. You see the point. You can cover his neck, but he can't cover his feet. But he criticizes another one who has covered his feet but cannot cover his neck. The blanket is too small in the material world for everybody. You know, nobody can be perfect. Nobody is Bhagavan. You know, and so we see that there's some. You found a fault. You know, finally I found a fault in you. It's interesting that when Mr. Desai, he was a famous devotee, he died in some, I think in Bhutan or one of these places, on a heart attack. He was very prominent in the preaching of Chopati, Mr. Desai, huge industrialist. And he said about Srila Prabhupada, he said, I studied him for a long time, I met him on the morning walk and I couldn't find any fault in him. I couldn't, I tried. But I couldn't, because in the material world everybody has some fault, right? Some weakness. Like a spy, he will find out the weakness of the king and he will send him a prostitute or whatever he is attached to, right? To make him speak, or give him alcohol, whatever. He looks for the weak point. So everybody has that weak point, and you can look in yourself without telling anybody that there is a weak point in you. Is there anybody who doesn't have a weak point? Please lift up your hand. You see? If you ask the same question the other way around, is there anybody who agrees that there's a weak point in himself? Please lift up your hand. You not? Everybody has some weak point. Like Prabhupada talked to the ambassador of India and Sweden. I brought him to Prabhupada, and so I was sitting in the same room. And so Prabhupada preached to him like anything, you know, to give up and preach Krishna consciousness, follow principles. And ambassador asked for principles. And Prabhupada told him the four regular principles. And he said, Swami, there's one principle I cannot follow. And of course, everybody thinks it is sex, but he said, I cannot stop drinking wine, Swamiji. I cannot. I started many times, but I must drink wine. I cannot stop. It's my great intent. It's not an attachment for me at all. Is there anybody who's attached to wine? I hardly believe it in the whole Hare Krishna movement. But this guy was attached to wine. And Prabhupada said, why don't you give it up? I cannot. I tried many times. So Prabhupada said, then you should, when you drink your wine, you should think Krishna is a taste of wine. Prabhupada built him some sort of a bridge. So, common, everybody has some weakness. It may be money, it may be women, it may be fame. Like, there's a nice story. There was... did I tell you the story of Tansen, the musician at the court of Akbar the Great? Did I? Yes?
Yes.
You see, he and Akbar lured him in so many ways. He said, you want money, you want women, I can give you all that. He said, no, I'm not interested at all, because he was a sadhu. You see? Lord Chaitanya specifically, Nadanam Najanam Nasundaram, because he was not interested in all these things. Janma, Janmani, Janmanishwari, Bhavata, Bhaktira, Aitukitvai, I only want to have devotion to you, pure devotion to you, birth after birth. So that's one thing. And so when we actually reverse this trend from exploiting Krishna to serving Krishna, that makes a difference. Then Krishna becomes attracted. He becomes attracted to that. When he sees that we make an effort to go into the opposite direction, that we try to serve Krishna, in ultimate consideration that we try to love Krishna. That's a big step. That's a big step. I mean, that's the most difficult thing, to love Krishna, because our love is very dormant. It starts with serving Krishna, particularly through the holy name. Chanting through the holy name is the greatest, Lord Chaitanya says, it is the most important activity in the whole universe. You know, because it is the perfect way to call Krishna for help. Please, I want to serve me, please engage me in your service. In that sense, it's considered to be the greatest prayer. Because we ask Krishna, please engage me in your service. I've been in the service of Maya for millions and millions of years, and I'm attached to it. I know nothing but serving Maya. How do I reverse this trend? We need Krishna's help for that. And so this is a way actually to reverse this trend, to enjoy myself, whereas actually the idea is that our enjoyment should be the enjoyment of Krishna. That's pure devotee's enjoyment is if he can have Krishna enjoy, if he gives Krishna pleasure. Now what is this verse? Ata pumbhya dvija shrishta varnashrama vibhaga saha svanusitasya dharmasya samsiri hari toshanam. The main thing is to make Lord Krishna happy. That's the idea. And the gopis were the expert. They were completely in forgetfulness about themselves. Sometimes they wouldn't even dress properly when they heard the flute. Or put the dhoti on it like a shirt, and put the shirt on like a dhoti. And the milk was cooking over there. So many examples. Because they were beside themselves when they heard Krishna or knew Krishna was in the vicinity. You know, their trend to enjoy themselves has been completely eradicated by their service to Krishna. And they couldn't think of nothing more wonderful than serving Krishna. You see, Lalita, Vishakha and all the Ashtashaktis, they are constantly engaged in giving pleasure to Krishna in a variety of ways. That is like the love of a mother. Believe me, there is no comparison. In the whole world, you don't find anything of that type of selfless lust, love. You find this only in the relationship of mother to the child. There you find it. The mother is not, she just wants the child to be happy. When the child cries, she immediately runs, she leaves everything, she goes to the child. That's the only example in the entire world where you see selfless love. Even if the child cries in the middle of night, the mother runs. Right? Mother runs. Even if the child wakes him up 100 times, the mother doesn't mind because she loves that child. So there you see love. When a boy loves a girl, well, he said, I love you. You know, hello, I love you. Hello, I love you. Will you tell me your name? There was a famous song in the 60s. What is that love? Ultimately, I know from my wife, she told me they all want to have sex, that's all. That's all, they're just looking. Men are like dogs, just look for sex, that's all. They may say, I love you, I've never loved anything more, but by the end of the day, he wants to have sex with her, that's all. That's the goal of it. Of all the lies, of all the, promises, of all the this, all the that, and even giving her a ring, even giving her a nice sari, whatever. Ultimately, that is, the love is very polluted. It's polluted. It's polluted love. And that's the love in the material world. It's the most degrading thing in the spiritual world. The love is the highest in the material world. It's the lowest. Outside of the love of a mother for a child. That's pure love, but everything else is polluted. There's some interest there. Somebody is praising you. You know, you immediately understand, maybe he wants something. You know, I remember, this is a funny story. When I was a young boy, I was maybe 16 years old, less even, 14. I went to Spain. Alone, I think alone, yes, no, with another friend. And so I was driving this car in France, and all of a sudden, this man puts his hand on my knee. How do you call this? Thigh? On my thigh. And I said, what's your plan? I said, what's your plan? He said, oh, sorry. I said, you're not sorry. You have a plan. Sorry, sir, I can't serve you. So it was very clear, you know, that he expressed some love by patting my leg, but he had some plan. I looked through and said, what's your plan? Come on, you know. So the material world, you can't trust it, really. You can't trust it, you know. It's a place where you cannot trust. In the spiritual world, you can trust. You can trust Srila Prabhupada. You can trust sadhus, if they are sadhus. You can trust. But in any way, even if somebody says, I love you very much, when it comes to serving you or helping you when you're in difficulty, you will find that people go away. They don't want to bother. You know? They don't want to bother in the material world. It's, there may be some appreciation, some love is there. But by the end of the day, everybody saves himself. When the boat is going under, you know, most people save 99%, they save themselves in such a situation. And so we have to understand that the disease is that there's a lack of pure love. Krishna is different. I mean, his love is so great that he expands himself in so many Krishnas at particular times. Right? Like in Dwaraka. He expands himself in so many different Dwarkadeshas. In so many. He wants not only to make one queen of Dwarka happy, he wants to make all the queens of Dwarka happy. And so he expands himself because one Krishna is not enough. He wants to be with every queen at the same time. The same you see in Rasa Lila, or indeed in many, many pastimes of Krishna. Let me just talk about that. Because it's a very common phenomenon in Krishna Lila that Krishna expands himself to associate with more person than just one. And this is called by Bhava Prakash. That's the word you have to remember. By Bhava Prakash. This is called that Krishna expands himself. And I can read to you something that I recently came across. It's a nice story. Oops. When Krishna came to Vidya, basically speaking, the idea was that he wanted to kidnap Subhadra. That was the idea. She was very beautiful. And so he went there, and there was a king of Vidya, and his name was, what was his name? Bahulasva. Bahulasva. And there was a poor Brahmana there. And Krishna wanted to meet the king because of his daughter, and he wanted to meet the Brahmana because he was a pure devotee. And so, according to Sri, then wanting to please both of them, this is the thing, Krishna's mentality is not to please himself, to please both of them. That's why he expects us to come to this level, to give up our love for ourselves, to please him, because he does exactly that. That's his business. He pleases everybody. Even although people reject him all the time, still he feeds them. I mean, where's the food coming from? You know, I would have been so angry already 100 times. And people say, oh, there is no God, although he feeds them. They can't even lift their arm without God. You know, he serves them all the time. You know, everything we do, everything is actually enacted by the super soul. He expands himself not only to one person, he expands himself to every single living entity. Just see that love. To every living entity in the heart of every creep, Krishna is situated and helps him. Because ultimately, he wants him back in the spiritual world. Who is the greater servant than Krishna? He's the greatest master, at the same time, he's the greatest servant. And he wants to accept us, this mentality, because then he can relate to him. If he would not change our mentality, he would serve us and we say, okay, now I got you, Krishna, in my hand. You know, we will not be able to reciprocate with Krishna. He wants to reciprocate with us. He loves us and we love him. So this capacity we lost, some or other. You know, to put Krishna first. In the material world, what was it? Aham Purvam, me first. Me first, me first, me first. That's the material consciousness. In the spiritual world, Krishna first. My mother used to say that also. First God, then God, then God, then the others, and the others, and the others, and then yourself. Very pious. This is actually a correct philosophy. And so, now comes this point. Wanting to please them both, the Lord accepted both the invitations. Thus, he simultaneously entered both homes, and neither could see him entering the other house. There you have that it's actually explained in the Krishna book. So I come to that. Vishwanath Chakravarti said Krishna visited Shukadev and Bahulasva at the same time by manifesting himself in duplicate forms along with his sages. Thus King Bahulasva thought that Lord Krishna had come only to his house, leaving Shukadev to return home disappointed. But Shukadev believed that just the reverse was taking place. And then the purport of Prabhupada. With folded hands, the king and the Brahmana each simultaneously invited Krishna and all the sages to their home. In order to please both of them, Lord Krishna expanded himself in two and went to the house of each of them. Yet neither the king nor the Brahmana could understand that the Lord had gone to the house of the other. But both thought the Lord had gone to their own house only, and that he and his companions were present in both houses, they did not see. And this is another opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So his desire is so intense that he just doesn't want to serve Bauleshwar, be in his house. He also wants to serve the Brahmana, Shukadev. It is his love. And sometimes he expands himself as there are many queens in Dwarka. Thousands and thousands of queens. Sometimes his love is so great that he expands himself in as many gopis as there are. Now this is the point. This opulence described in the revealed scriptures, you should note this down in your brain or write it down, is called Vaibhava Prakash. That's Vaibhava Prakash. And it is not a rare thing in Krishna Leela. You can see this just on these two examples of gopis. There's also the same energies at work when Krishna sometimes sits down with one gopi and talks to her. And the gopi doesn't see he's talking to all the gopis at the same time. It's also in Krishna book, in the same, around the same chapters in the area of the rasa dance. It's another one. And somebody knows another example. Anybody knows another example where Krishna expands himself? Yes? My hearing is bad. Nothing wrong with you. Brahma Vimohan Leela. That's another example. That heavy Brahma thought that Krishna is in his domain. He couldn't see that Krishna was associated with every other Brahman at the same time. If you want to describe this in material terms, it's like a multidimensionality. You see? There are many dimensions. This is how you can explain it. It doesn't really explain the whole thing because ultimately it has nothing to do with dimensions. It has to do that Krishna has a power to be with you so that nobody can see it. That's by Baba Prakash. But we can make it somehow understandable by talking in terms of different dimensions. You know, like you don't know what's your friend may be looking for you, you're in the same temple. He's upstairs, you're downstairs, and you don't see each other. You look everywhere. He calls you on the phone. He said, where are you? You wanted to be there by 6 o'clock. I said, I'm here. I can't find you. Why don't they see each other? Because they're in different dimensions. He's upstairs, and you are here. Although, geographically, they're in exactly the same spot. He said, well, look on Google Earth. And exactly on the two-dimensional level, they're exactly in the same spot, but they don't see each other because they're in different dimensions. So in the same way, you could explain Krishna's different pastimes like in Brahma Vimoha, you know, very clearly that it's like in different, but that's just a worldly, mundane description of the situation. The real situation is that Krishna can do anything he wants, and he can make that I cannot see you when he talks to me. It's dynamic, it's not static, it's not, a formula, a material formula. Multidimensionality is a material formula that explains us in our terms so that we can somehow or other understand it. But actually it's Krishna's Vaibhava Prakash. I mean, all material laws, they actually don't exist. Like Prabhupada said, there is no law of gravity. How is that? Law of gravity is how we describe the symptom of Balaram's energy. Balaram's energy. Actually, everything is Balaram's energy in the material world. That's why the planets are going their proper circles, because of Balaram. Now, within the... say, for example, Earth, Moon. How is it that the more we come to the Moon, the Earth loses its gravity? Why is that? What is the spiritual principle behind that? Yeya tamam prapadyate tam satara vajamyam. According he surrenders unto me, according he comes to me, I come to him. You see, the more we come to Krishna, the more Krishna is with us. And we lose our gravity towards the material world. Right? When you go to the moon, the earth loses its clutch on you. The more you go to the moon, the more you go to the earth has a clutch on you. That's what's called gravity. But actually it's just Balaram's energy, which we try to define in human terms. You see, and you can take every law of nature like that. Just like, for example, if you look at the structure of the universe, you know, we see the sun is going around and sometimes visible, sometimes not. This is actually how the sun planet is traveling on the Loka mountain range. It has to do with that. That's the principle behind it. And Lord Brahma is actually sitting on a lotus flower coming from the navel of. We can't see that. We know there's a supreme controller. The real reality is our mind cannot stretch to it. Our intelligence cannot stretch to that. Not possible. To the spiritual principle, which is actually moving everything. It's the spiritual principle, you know. Basically speaking, Vaibhava Prakash is explaining to us on a spiritual level how Krishna is loving his devotees, that he expands himself. There's another example where you have this Vaibhava Prakash in Chaitanya Leela. Everybody knows this example. In front of the Raskat. You know, Krishna was dancing, Chaitanya was dancing in front of six groups simultaneously. That's again Vaibhava Prakash. See, and you will find if you look at Krishna book, I found about eight different examples of Vaibhava Prakash. This particular, huh? What? You need to translate. Yeah. Yes, the same example, when Krishna was eating lunch with the boys. Every boy thought Krishna was sitting with him alone eating lunch. They have another example. So you gradually open, you get an eye for it. You know, when you see this type of phenomena, you immediately understand, now this is Vaibhava Prakash. Krishna has so many energies, as we all know, Parasya Shakti Vividaya Shruyate. There's unlimited energies, and there's one of them is this Vaibhava Prakash, you know, that he expands himself, you know. Nobody could see the universe of form, but Krishna, Arjuna saw it. Why? Because Krishna says, I have to give you the eyes, and he gave him the eyes, and then he could see it. You see, it's all under Krishna's control. He can make himself available, and at the same time, you can't see him. He's hidden in the heart. Naham Prakasha Savasya Yogamaya Samavita, 24/7 is in our heart. Why can't we see him? Because we are fools. Mudai Mudo Yam Navijanati. Fools cannot see me. But in a minute, from one moment to another, he could make himself available to us. From one moment to another, it's up to him. He has that power. In such a way that nobody else can see it. Just like in Krishna consciousness, we can understand much more about Krishna than ordinary people. Even if they read Bhagavad, even in the movement, you have people who have access to Krishna in different degrees. Right? They understand Krishna deeper or less deep. In the beginning, simple. In due course of time, it becomes more deep, the understanding. You know? Some people are very realized devotees. You know, they understand Krishna in a very deep way. And so, why is it that they're understanding Krishna in a deeper way? Because they're more surrendered unto him. They're more surrendered. There's less the desire to enjoy independently. That's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. We have to work on that. According he surrenders unto me, I reward him, as Krishna says. And this is, like I said, that's the spiritual root of the law of gravity. You see, behind the law of gravity, there is this spiritual principle, which is manifested by Balaram. In fact, even Balaram himself, the expansion of Krishna to Balaram, is actually Vaibhava Prakash. It's a Vaibhava Prakash. You know, Radharani also, by Bhav Prakash. And so we have to understand our philosophy very carefully. Then gradually we can understand everything very perfectly. Krishna will reveal himself. The more we chant nicely, and the more we read nicely, automatically Krishna becomes more and more available to us. And then you read the same Bhagavad Gita you read already so many times, but you can see it on a deeper level. The same book reveals itself, it is ever fresh. That's what Prabhupada says, ever fresh. You understand it on a deeper level, and deeper even, and deeper, and deeper. There's no end to it. How deep we can understand Bhagavad Gita. You know, and I know when I preach in America, you know, and I spoke to people, visitors, you know, and so I said, this knowledge is based on Bhagavad Gita. So I know Bhagavad Gita. So what do you know about it? I don't know. Well, I remember there was a Buddhist, you know, and he told me, but I know about reincarnation. That's not the end of it, that you know about it, that it's existing. What does it actually mean in depth to you, right? What does it actually mean in depth, what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? So people in general, they do it up with some material formula. I know Bhagavad Gita. You know, I know about reincarnation, don't tell me anything. But they didn't understand anything about it. They don't understand, you know, they say, well, I know about God, I heard it. But do you know that you're God also? Yes, I know, sure, I'm God. Everybody else is God. But the intricacy of it, you know, the depth of understanding, and there's only one living being in the ultimate consideration, and not many beings, there's only one being, the Supreme Personality of God. This is expansions. All his expansions are actually expansion from him, they're one with him. Try to understand this, there's only one living being in the entire creation, everywhere, there's only one being, that's Krishna. And everybody else, on one side Balaram, on the other side Radharani, they're just expansions of the same person, Krishna, you know. Then because you ask the material religionist, where is God? He said, well, he's in the sky. He's high up, you know. Or somebody will tell, on the upper side, somebody say, no, I'm God. These are the two extremes. God is far away, or I'm God, right? But the truth is, both is true, it's a half-truth. God is also far away, but he's also in our heart. Andantarastha paramanu shriyantarastham, he's actually in every atom even. In every atom. He's everywhere, but we can't see him because we are blind by false pride and by lust. Lust is blinding us, you see. So in the same way, Krishna is everywhere, but we cannot see him, we cannot lift our hand without him. And so some people say God does not exist. How can he come to this conclusion? Because the super soul helps him to say that. Why does the super soul help him? Because he wants to believe that. If you want to worship a demigod, Krishna makes your faith strong, that you are able to worship a demigod. He understands what you want. If you want to have something else, then Krishna will give it to you. You see, and even if somebody is a Maya, why is Mayavadi philosophy useful? Why does Krishna allow? Or even through Shankaracharya to preach Mayavadi philosophy? Why is that? Does anybody know? Huh? Because it's necessary, because there are many people who deeply think that they're God. And so for that sake, there has to be Mayavadi philosophy. They found. Somewhere is, for everybody there's something. For every deviation, there's something. Like, why is God allowing religion to exist where people eat meat? Why? Because they want to eat meat. So, but they are also religious, they have some religious understanding from previous life, but their desire for eating meat has not been given up. So they're born in a religion where there's meat eating. Krishna creates all these different religions. They are like traps. Like Prabhupada said, and Mayavadi philosophy is the last trap of Krishna to protect, as Prabhupada said, quote unquote, to protect the purity of devotional service. To protect the purity. In this way, we don't have to bother with too many Mayavadis coming to this temple, because they're already trapped. We don't have to bother, you don't have to bother too much with meat eaters coming to the temple, because they're already trapped by the different traps Krishna has created. To protect the purity of pure Krishna bhakti. That's the idea. That's why Krishna creates all these religious, different religious upper sampradayas, different material religion, material this and that. It's Krishna behind it. To actually allow his devotee to find himself. And if somebody is part of material religion and actually prays to God, he becomes purified in due course of time and comes to Krishna consciousness, right? But in the beginning he was not so pure. So everything is going on under God's control. Not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. He sanctions all this. Therefore, all the religions, of the, no matter how materialistic they are actually enthused by God. You know? What is it? And God has different names in every culture. Although there's only one, the Supreme Spirit, the Supreme Lord, has different names in different culture. Like there's Allah, Yehovah, Yahweh, etc. The Red Indians, not the Indian Indians, the American Indians, what is their name for God? Anybody knows? Wonky Tonky. Wonky Tonky. Krishna's everything. One of Krishna's names is Wonky Tonky. Nam Namakari Bauda Nijan Savashaktis. Unlimited names. They mean the Supreme Spirit, and they're depicting him as an eagle. Now we know Garuda is an eagle, and Krishna is riding on this eagle. Narayan is riding on this eagle. So they have some idea of the free-soaring spirit that is everywhere, like an eagle flying around. So I'm sure Krishna is getting a kick out of that when he hears that people worship him as Wonky Tonky. I think they're amusing themselves. Krishna tells one of the gopis, you know what my name is in South America, before the British arrived, Wonky Tonky. I'm sure they're enjoying that. But Krishna has so many names in different culture, and there's so much religiosity, and all this religiosity by the end of the day is created by Krishna. For different grades of living entities, different bodies, for every grade of consciousness, different bodies, you know. Whether you are in the form of a Neanderthaler, or whether you're in the form of a dinosaur, or whether you're in the form of a human being or a rat, all these different forms are created by the Lord to give facility to different grades of consciousness. The same is true in religion. So I think you have to stop here. I just wanted to make this point of that you should take home, that when Krishna duplicates himself, whether he eats prasadam with the boys, or whether he sits beside one particular gopi, or whether he dances in the gopis in rasa dance, or whether he displays his pastimes in Dwarka, or whether what else is there, the rasa dance, what else, in Lord Chaitanya's pastime in Puri, is always the same energy. It's called by Baba Prakash, that you should take with you. Any other question? I thank you very much. Gaurav, come. You have to tell in my ear. My hearing is bad. 75 is a different thing. Come and tell in my ear. Come.
So you were telling about how Mayavada philosophy comes from Krishna. So next time we meet a Mayavadi, should we preach to him, or should we just understand it's coming from Krishna?
Yeah, this is, my question is, Since I said that Mayavadi philosophy ultimately comes from Krishna, shall we preach to Mayavadi? You can, but you will never be successful. I've not been able to convince a single Mayavadi. There's even one devotee in our movement in Munich who's initiated by Mayavadi. And he knows about Hare Krishna mantra, even chants. Still, he cannot drop his Mayavadi guru. Still, he meditates Mayavadi mantras. It is so, the pollution is so strong. The desire to become Krishna is so averse to Krishna, so unappetizing, so, that's the worst. You want to become Krishna, that's the ultimate symptom of envy, that you want to become God. So it's very, very almost impossible for Mayavadis to come to Krishna consciousness. I've never been successful in my personal experience. So I go, yes, 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 yes. Indians are good in that. Yes, 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 yes. So to do the same when you meet a Mayavadi, you just go, yes, 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 yes. You know, maybe you can give a donation. I'm hungry. You will give a donation. He takes it in, takes a donation, put it into the handi. He makes you progress. This is a way to help people who are unapproachable, who you cannot change. Just ask them for a donation. You know? Even say, why should I give a donation? He said, I'm hungry. And put it into the handi. You're hungry, but you put that into a donation. You actually try. Let the wise not disrupt the mind of the ignorance, Krishna says. They should not be discouraged in their cause of action, but engaged in the spirit of devotion. That's the way. When you see somebody cannot be approached by preaching, immediately should think about how can I engage him for Krishna. You know? Maybe you can buy some flower, you can say. Why don't you bring a flower when you come to the temple? He's making progress. No use to talk about philosophy. You have to be a devotee. You have to be open-minded. You have to willing to learn. They don't want to learn from us. They know everything. There's this one festival in America. It's called a Kirtan festival. I forgot the name. Some of our devotees used to go there to preach. Sachinanda Swami also used to go there sometimes. And it's run by Baba Ram. Ram Baba, he's a Mayavadi. And our Suradas, in America we have a Sura, not this Sura here. In America, Suradas, he's the head of the BBT. And he has been going there for 10 years flat. And he said, I can hardly remember to have been able to sell one book. And they all chant Hare Krishna. They all dance in Kirtan. You know? But you cannot sell one book. Because they're not interested in Krishna, actually. They're enjoying the Kirtan. They don't want to serve the name. They want to enjoy the name. That's the difference. You see? That's the difference. You see? And so, consequently, you cannot preach to them. You know? Impossible. Only way is to engage them. People who cannot hear, you must engage. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. That's the way. You must engage them. You know, ask them to do a donation, ask them to sponsor a flower, something, in some way or another. Ask them to give something to Krishna by any means. You know, in this way, they advance. They have to find what they would like to do. Like when you fish, you put something on the hook that is very tasty to that particular type of fish. And he comes and eats it, and then you pull him in. You know? So most people, you have to engage. And so book distribution is so nice, because you engage them. Whether they like it or not, you sell them a book. And this is Prabhupada's trick, how these books go everywhere, by selling. Most people are not interested, but still they buy a book because they like you, or the presentation is nice, or they have a little bit of interest. I mean, I got a book from a friend who was not really interested. He got it from his mother. She was not at all interested. And she met a devotee on the street in Hamburg, in the cold of the winter. And she met the devotee, he was smiling into her mother. He said, how do you look? She said, I'm a Hindu monk. I want to ask you to take this book. She opened it up, it was Sri Upanishad. She saw the Sanskrit, she said, I can't do anything with it. I can't use it. She said, well, buy it for your son. And the word son is a magic mantra for mothers. As soon as they hear my son, she goes, okay, I buy it. Right? It is like that. It's a magic mantra. And so she said, I buy it for my son. Okay, he convinced him, buy it for your son, all right. He looked at it, I can't do with anything with it. And he gave it to me. And I looked at it and said, what, this is it. This is exactly what I've been waiting for. I took the book and 3 days later I was shaved. and distributed exactly the same book that I got 2 days, actually 2 days before. You know? No question, because that's exactly what I was looking for. I would have never joined a religiosity where people eat meat. Never. Never, because I understood it is cruel, it is ungodly to live like that. I told my mother a year before that I wanted to join some group, some where people live like in a monastery. And I said, how do they look? I said, everybody has a shaved head. I didn't know what I was talking about. I thought it might be some Buddhists. And then later I found the devotees, everybody has a shaved head, you know. And everybody was a vegetarian. Krishna led me along this way, you know. So use your brain. You have to study, you know, if somebody, find out before you talk to somebody what is his philosophy. And when you understand he's a Mayavadi, you know there's only so much you can do. You know, engage him in Krishna's service. Don't try to argue with him. If you meet a Christian, you know, what can you do? You know, there are some who are borderline, who are not satisfied in their religiosity. Particular Christians, there are many who can actually turn to Krishna because there is some basic idea of bhakti there. You should love your Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I mean, what is it? It's bhakti. You know? So I thank you very much. And always nice to see you. And let me congratulate you to your good fortune to have found that you knocked at the right door. There are many doors in Mumbai you could have knocked at, but you knocked at this door. And this is the perfection, the way to that door. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Putu Prabhu ki jai.